Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This is 90.9 WBUR's All Things Considered. I'm Deborah Becker, in for Sasha Pfeiffer. Testimony is now complete in the corruption trial of former state treasurer Tim Cahill and a former political aide of his. Cahill himself was the final witness. He occasionally became testy while he was being cross-examined today. WBUR's David Boeri has been covering the case, and he joins me now. Hello there.
Hi, Deb.
Well, David, Cahill has repeatedly denied that the state-funded ads that he approved for the lottery were intended to bolster his campaign for governor in 2010. He says that $2 million ad blitz was designed only to protect the lottery, which had come under attack in political campaign ads at the time. Now, were prosecutors able to shake that claim today?
Well, they appeared to hurt him, Deb, but they didn't shake his claim. At the end of the cross-examination, Cahill was as adamant as he was at the beginning. He said he did not spend that public money to benefit his campaign to become governor. But the prosecution confronted him today with a series of emails from within his political campaign and within the lottery to suggest that lottery advertising was conducted to help Cahill's ambition to become governor. Here's an email from his political strategist, presented by Assistant Attorney General James O'Brien.
Yes on lottery ads, and he has plenty of money. Is that right?
That's what he says, yes.
Doesn't he say Cahill thinks most of the $2 million is there? Is that what he writes?
That's what he writes, yes.
Okay. So you're not denying that you and he were talking about the fact that the lottery had a $2 million advertising budget?
I don't believe I've ever denied that.
So, Deb, that same consultant wrote another email in the midsummer of 2010 saying, we just found $1 million for extra publicity.
But Cahill can't be in the ad. Do you see that?
I do.
So, Cahill said he couldn't remember talking with that consultant about whether he could be in the ads or not. And Cahill said he didn't know how the consultant would know that if Cahill hadn't told him.
But Cahill was aware that some lottery officials were uncomfortable about running these ads. Isn't that right, David?
Yeah, he was aware some people were uncomfortable about the ad, he said, but he didn't remember others saying that they were concerned, he claimed. Here's the prosecutor again, James O'Brien.
And no knowledge that Mark Cavanaugh, your executive director at the Massachusetts State Lottery, was overheard going down a hall saying, I'm not effing signing this, it's borderline illegal?
No, I wasn't there.
Nobody told you that?
No.
But Cahill asserted that Mark Cavanaugh was the one who had the idea of running a promotional ad in the first place for the lottery to protect its integrity from those nasty outside ads that the Republican Governors Association had been running that were intended to knock Cahill out of the governor's race. And this is important to note, Deb, because when the government called Mark Cavanaugh to the stand earlier in this trial, it was Cavanaugh who insisted he made the decision to go with the series of promotional ads.
Now, David, it's my understanding that Tim Cahill has been relatively seemingly confident, good-natured. Was he like that today?
As the cross-examination wore on, Cahill slumped to a sort of chin and hand position and became somewhat argumentative. But his last line was the same as his first. He did nothing wrong. That his political campaign capitalized on his handling of the lottery, among other things, while the lottery promotional campaign, which was separate, and he said it was separate, that would, by the way, have drained the whole year's advertising budget for the lottery, that was intended to boost sales and defend its brand from those Republican attack ads. That's what he said at the end.
Now, closing arguments are Tuesday. Why Tuesday?
Because the judge has to come up with jury instructions, and this is going to be difficult or somewhat complicated regarding the new law that's being used the first time to charge Cahill and his co-defendant. Now, judge for yourself, Deb. The language and the clarity of the crime they're charged with, quote, conspiring with fraudulent intent to obtain an unwarranted privilege. What's that mean? Well, the jurors are going to find out, the judge is going to instruct them, and it's going to be up to them.
Now you mentioned that this is a new law, and you know, David, some have suggested that this is a case that really probably never should have been brought, at least not to this level. And some say it's really criminalizing what politicians do typically when they run for higher office and they're already holding on.
Yeah, that's the questions being asked, that's what's being said, and you know, the defense is clear, but you know, what they're saying is, how politically important could those ads ever have been when they never mentioned Cahill's name, they never showed his face, and they never included his voice? And so the defense claims the attorney general is overreaching, just as critics are, and that the behavior that he's charged with is in disproportion to the prosecution, which, by the way, in this new charge, could sentence him to 5 years in jail.
All right. WBUR's David Bowery, thanks very much for being with us this afternoon.
You're welcome, Deb.